Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
Make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure if I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course you didn't. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Internet. One of those covers of the video store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep. What in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
Hi, I'm Dave the Clone, and I am an FBI agent! And joining me tonight on What Am I Watching is, as always, Gomez, not Adams. Yeah, we should have picked ex-presidents to be before we started this one, actually. We're like, Lyndon, you ready? Because Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
they had such better ex-presidents, though.
Yeah, true. Wow. Could you imagine? Shit, see, I didn't see the remake. I was about to say, imagine they remade this? Oh, fuck. Well, for those of you out there listening, we are talking tonight about the 1991 classic. I'm calling it a classic. I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks of that. That would be Point Break, directed by Kathryn Bigelow, starring the late, great Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves and Lori Petty and who's that other one? Gary Busey.
Pre-mugshot Gary Busey.
Pappas. Angelo Pappas. You're like, wow.
John C. McGinley.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man, from fucking Platoon. He dropped the young, dumb, Scrubs. Full of cum line. Yeah, well, he's nicer on Scrubs. He's like a more
barely,
palatable.
Yes.
He's become palatable in his later career, but in the early career, it was all parts like this.
Well, yeah.
Total douchebag. We don't even know why he doesn't like you, other than the fact that like it's a carryover from the 80s where like you have to just automatically not like the rookie.
Exactly. Precisely.
But yes, this is the movie where the FBI pays Keanu Reeves to learn how to surf in order to catch bank robbers who are surfers. It was awesome. I don't know. I don't even know where to start, man. This movie is just in my lexicon of cool. This is one of those early influencers of like, oh my God, this is what it's like to be a cool adult. All right, better start brushing up on the lingo.
It's also probably one of the originating movies for people thinking Keanu Reeves can't act.
Oh God, yeah, unfortunately so. Unfortunately, and you know what? I think that means we have to blame Academy Award winning director Kathryn Bigelow because, you know, this is the performance she got out of him.
Exactly.
But I don't know, man. I know people have hated this from the beginning. You know, there are people who've like, I remember, okay, so I saw it, you know, on Pix 11 during one of the summer movie rushes. I also remember staying up late and catching it on like, you know, Cinemax or Showtime. And like, you know, when that naked chick comes out of the shower and starts beating the shit out of people, you're like, whoa.
This wasn't in the version I saw.
Like, tits and action from the same person at the same time? Like, wow, man. Talk about female empowerment. You know, and actually, ironically, that's the scene that's about to start as I'm watching here in the background. He's driving to the stakeout late because he fell asleep on the beach with Tyler after the... Oh, my God. I mean, there's so many... like archetype-ish type sequences. I mean, I feel like this movie set a lot of the stage for, I mean, everybody loved the later version of this film called Fast and Furious when it came out in the early 2000s. So, I mean,
you definitely got, you know, the good guy who's got to become sort of the bad guy to catch the bad guys.
But then becomes like enamored with the life that the bad guys lead for what...
He becomes the mask.
Yes. Oh my, but it's also, I mean, It's funny. There's a lot to do with this movie. It's a surfing movie. It's a heist movie. It's a skydiving movie. It's like a bunch of things. It's the reason I want to both surf and skydive, even though I've done neither yet in my long overdue life here. But it's, you know, there were so many people. Tom Sizemore. Holy shit, I forgot about Tom Sizemore's coming up in the next scene. Anthony Kiedis. There's like a lot of people in this movie. And a lot of the way this movie is structured is kind of just like, it was before we, I think it was at the time where our age group didn't realize there were formulas to things like this. So we were just kind of like awash in the brain candy of it, you know?
Exactly.
And for me, that's never worn off. I know there are a lot of people that I guess either never had that experience or have let that experience lapse. I don't know.
I also feel like if this movie, I mean, I, again, did not see the remake, so I'm not quite sure what angle they took
on I refuse.
Fair enough. But I also feel like if this movie was being made now, it would not be done from the point of view of the FBI as the good guys. And that's very much where this movie comes from. That's
good call. And as far as like being in the history of filmmaking and media, this is when the cops were automatically the good guys.
Exactly.
Kind of. Kind of always.
It's like, yeah, okay, so, you know, the superiors are dicks. But, you know, Gary Busey's a kind of cool guy for an older cop. And, you know, he does his thing. But if this was being made now, you'd know that they take it from the point of view of, like, let's go for the bank robbers. That's who we're really interested in.
Well, you know what it would be? I think, too, they would have to have Johnny Utah know somebody who is friends with these guys. So like he would be like a former heist guy himself. You know what I mean? Like they would definitely play up the anti-hero side of the hero. And like in this, he's the Boy Scout. You know what I mean? This is like the quarterback punk. This is like the straight out of Quantico, ready to take the world by storm.
Blue Flame Special.
Volunteering for everything. I mean, I still, how long in my life I've remembered, and I've even like said, you know, at times, and people around me didn't really know what the reference was, which just makes me sad, but I'm like, I'm working the fucking drop car. Like, just walking by like, drop car, sure, I'll work the goddamn drop car. And I remember being a kid going, what's the big deal about that?
What's wrong with that?
Like, it's part of your job, right? Like,
You didn't quite realize that it was being given the shit job.
Yeah, or that, like, and that, of course, it would be the fucking rookie to be like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do it. Whatever you want done, we do. And meanwhile,
I'm that guy.
And, you know, I also love that particular scene that we're referencing where we're kind of, it's the first time we see the ex-presidents in action. And they do this really awesome thing where it's playing, and then the last part that happens rewinds itself and you're like, oh, someone just watched that whole thing on the security tapes. And it leads into what I remember seeing in the trailers, you know what I mean? Like all the other cops like making fun of Gary Busey's theory on who these ex-president bank robbers are. Like, totally Hang Ten, dude. Oh my god, I remember seeing the trailers for this now. As I'm watching the movie and as we're talking about it, I'm like, I remember before it even came out. I remember seeing trailers on TV.
And to show just how divisive this movie is, we struggled hard to find other people to do this with.
I'm going to say, knowing that they're going to hear this, going, you know what? What the fuck, guys? Seriously. Part of the deal with this whole podcasting thing is that you got to bite a bullet every once in a fucking while. I'm going to have to watch the goddamn Mystery Men to do the Liz's Mystery Men episode or whatever the hell we do on this. So it's just, to me, of all the things we could say, hey, we have to watch this, Point Break should be like a fucking vacation. You know what I mean?
Watched Barbarella for you,
dear god. And we'll be watching Tank Girl. So,
this is where you draw the line?
Like, come on, man. Johnny fucking Utah is getting his ass kicked by a tattooed blonde chick, and her boobs are bouncing all over. Like, she kicked him in the face with a bare foot, and he's knocked out.
Don't mess with surfer chicks. That's all there is to it.
Oh, my God, and Anthony Kiedis is wearing Nike pumps.
Of course he is.
Jesus, wow. This is like a whole... This is almost as much of a nostalgia flashback as watching American Crime Story was all season. This is like insane. I mean, I don't even know, like there's so many angles to attack this from. You know, so you have like the rookie cop being partnered with the old cop archetype going on there. The old cop having the unpopular theory about the crime archetype.
But it just happens to be right.
Yeah, of course. That nobody wanted to believe, yet all these people who are so pissed about all the shit going down. But I think it also had a level of, like, this is action movie before it became caricature. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about, like, the era of Die Hard, the era of, like, one-liners that are supposed to stand out so that when you leave the theater, you're all, like, saying them with your friends. But there were some. All right, now, Angelo Pappas, played by the great
Gary Busey.
Great mystery, Gary Busey. His character has some very memorable and colorful dialogue that I remember as a kid. I was going, I'm sure someday some of this will make sense. Like when he goes, I was taking shrapnel and caisson while you were still crapping in your hands and rubbing it on your face. And I'm going, who does that? Hearing this as a kid who probably just learned about jerking off at some point not too long or before this, and I'm going, wait a minute, what? You're doing what now? Like, I'm nowhere near going down that road. That's fucking insane. It's like two girls, one cup from like way before two girls, one cup ever happened.
Actually, I think it was more just a reference to the fact that, like, when I was in Nam, you were 6 months old.
Oh, good call, because that a baby would... Yeah, okay. All right. I'm with you on that.
It's like, Dave might take it one direction. Now let's bring it back a little bit.
Explanation sold. I'll give you that one. I'm fine with that.
I think I like that explanation a little bit better.
Yeah, other than is this a sex thing? Like, what's going on? Like, what the
heck? You weren't even walking yet, and I was in Vietnam.
And then at some point later, he says something about while you were still jerking off to the Sears catalog. Oh, he says that to Harp. He says that to John C. McKinley at the end. Yes. He goes, I was out here doing this while you were still jerking off to the lingerie section of the Sears catalog. And he goes, oh, really? He goes, yeah, Harp. And I'm like, oh, he just admitted he actually did that shit. The big, bad, like, FBI director. Is like, yeah, so of course I did that.
Because it's 1990 and I can't even get the Victoria's Secret catalog.
Shut the fuck up. You deserve each other, Pappas. Pappas, Jesus, Pappas. Why not even put you two together? You deserve each other. Oh, God.
Yes.
Yeah, the cantankerous, angry as fuck FBI director, the boss man who's always yelling at them. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, too, I didn't realize at the time what the working world is like and how much, how many waves might be caused by showing up at the corporate office of your FBI division.
With a surfboard.
In your shorts.
And carrying a surfboard.
And then, like, walking past all the chicks going, hey, what's up? I'm Johnny Utah.
You're paying me to surf.
The FBI is going to pay me to learn how to surf. And what about when the kid sells him the surfboard?
It's like a lot of guys your age are getting into it. He's like, I'm 25.
It's like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, my God.
Yes.
That kid, I'm looking for his name right now on IMDb because actually he's only from one other movie that I can recall, which would be Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. And he's... What? Yes, the epic Christina Applegate film. I wonder if they would even list this kid on IMDb. What would he be listed as? Because
kid in strip shop.
I know he had like a more prominent character in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. The only reason I'm bringing him up, because from a I guess if you want to call it a trivia standpoint, he is on one of those lists of like the top 13 young actors you didn't know killed themselves. Like, he's on it with Jonathan Brandis and a whole bunch of other people that like every time I get suckered in, like I get linked to it and wind up like watching it for a while. Gotcha. And or like, oh, I'm just going to click through this fucking thing, even though I've seen it a bunch of times. And, all of a sudden, his picture comes up from this movie, the picture of him behind the counter at the surf shop. And it's like, yeah, he hung himself for some reason. But yeah, so not so fun trivia for an awesome and epic movie. And I just couldn't help, like, that's one of those things that once you know it, you can't, like, unknow it.
Exactly.
So you're just kind of like, oh, shit. Like, oh, man, that's fucking terrible. I'll go ahead and post that somewhere, man, because of course I can't remember what his name was in the other movie either. Motherfuck IMDb, you always fuck me live. You always fuck me live. Just letting you know. But if you want to sponsor us, we'd be so open to that anyway. It would still work. We'd find a way to make it work. We'd get over it. Like Tom Sizemore's wife after he's just been working 9 months undercover with these crazy surf Nazis. So, yeah, of course.
Where are some Lost Boys when you need them?
Yeah, right. There's surf Nazis all over the 90s.
All over California in the 90s.
So, we get like mentoring scenes where they're kind of reviewing tapes. Johnny Utah and Angelo Pappas, a.k.a. Keanu Reeves and Gary Busey. And, Gary Busey really sells them on the surfer idea. And so, you know, to get into the mind of the people who might be doing this, he has to go out. He can't just go and ask questions. He can't just walk up to these guys and say, dude. Well,
because they'll shut down. They're tribal.
They're a tribe out there. That was in the trailer, too. When he's like looking at us, he's like, look at these guys. That's a tribe out there, man. You got to fucking get in their head. Of course, they didn't drop the F-bomb. I like to embellish, guys. It's called memory.
He's got to get out there and learn how to surf so he can become one of the surfers. So they'll let him into the club.
And who does he pick as his surfing contact? She actually saves his life because he tries to teach himself how to surf. Little Miss Lori Petty, who I remember thinking was cute because I was too young to realize she wasn't when I first saw this. I mean, like, believe me, all the other women in the movie are fucking hotter than she is. Like, the naked chick from the shower who beats the shit out of Keanu Reeves. She's way hotter than Lori Petty. But in this movie, Lori Petty made it work somehow.
She's got the little pixie cut.
Yeah. And she's got just enough sass going on to make it like, oh, you know what? That's a challenge. And suddenly I want that.
And she looks good in a wetsuit.
Mm-hmm. And she has a thing for changing while inside moving vehicles and all kinds of stuff. So she saves his ass when he almost kills himself trying to learn how to surf. And as she's surfing away, he goes, hey, my name's Johnny Utah. And she goes, she's like, what do I care? That's one of the lines that gets bandied about quite a bit when making fun of Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
But it was an iconic line. Nonetheless. And so, you know, of course, he goes and looks her up. She's got a whole shit ton of, like, moving violations and cool. Like, and, of course, there's this one scene that happens there when they're reviewing, like, you know, looking up her record and stuff. And, like, there's this woman helping them do the research. And it's, like, the first and only time. I wish they would have done more with this just to kind of, you know, round out the movie. But I'm not saying the movie's missing much. You know what I mean? It was like 90 minutes in and out, perfect.
Exactly.
There's this woman who's helping them is like, hot, Utah. Really hot. Like, almost like, dude, every fucking chick in this office wants Johnny Utah. You know what I mean? And she's like super pissed that she's helping him find stuff on another chick. Cause it's like, even she's gonna like, you're the star. This is the chick you found. Obviously, you're gonna wind up going for her.
But have you seen who else is working in that office? And can you blame her?
Yeah, it would be an easy scoop for like any young guy to just walk in and be like, hi. I'm not any of these guys.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, I have a vagina. You want to go see it? And you're like, yeah, sure. Is it in the file room over there where no one else will be able to disturb us?
Is there a lock on the door?
But instead, he's out in patrol with Angelo, and he's going, around the corner, there's a sandwich shop. Make the best meatball sandwiches I've ever had in my life. Go get me two of them. Utah! Get me two. There's a t-shirt I've been meaning to order. It comes up in my news feed on Facebook every once in a while because it's like from one of these, you know, companies that sells obscure t-shirts. And it just says, Utah, get me two. That's it. No picture, no nothing else. It's a blue t-shirt that says in faint white lettering, Utah, get me two. And I'm like, that is epic. And that is where you like really will start to like learn the people who are in your tribe, who like grew up with this shit, who are like, dude, that's awesome, because Utah fucking definitely got him too. Like, oh my god. And he said, oh, these are so good, I should have had you get me three. You know, it's so badass. And then that leads into the other part of the trailer that you can never forget, how they showed half of the foot chase from this movie in the trailer.
Yes.
So in addition, we've got boy meets girl, learns to surf. She becomes his surfing instructor, and as a result, gets him in with this crowd of surfers, which then leads us to our night beach football sequence, because you have to have a night beach football sequence.
And you were complaining about the night scenes in Mad Max.
Oh, geez. Well, see, the beach football part is fine, and even when they come back from the night surfing later on the beach, it's fine. It's clearly nighttime, but when they're surfing at night later, after he gets in good with these guys at the football game, and I mean, like, I thought there was an interesting factor here, too, which may be worth mentioning, that, like, they knew who he was. Like, they knew Johnny Utah. Johnny Utah apparently is a semi-celebrity in this movie.
Yeah, let me say, these guys pay way more attention to college football than I think anybody else I know.
Yeah, well, it's because they, you know, have an endless summer going on. They rob banks to finance that endless summer.
And what, college football starting in the fall.
Apparently. And, but it was one of those things where I'm like, well, this is a cool detail because it lets the main bad guy and the main good guy start off on this level of, like, mutual kind of, almost, I'm going to say interest in a non-homosexual way. Like, it's like they're just kind of, like, when you meet a new friend, you're intrigued. Yeah. There's something about the person's personality that intrigues you. It's definitely, this is where they catch each other's attention. But I thought it was an interesting fact. I'm like, so you're sending him in as a field agent, and he was televised as a college football star. So it's like the equivalent of like when apparently they were saying Bruce Lee was actually part of like the FBI. And you're like, yeah, I don't see that happening. Or the CIA. Yeah. It's like he's like the most famous fucking movie star at the time. So I just thought that was an interesting little sort of maybe even missed opportunity for the movie for them to be like, well, why don't we look up the history of Johnny Utah? Did he really become a lawyer, or is he actually an FBI agent? You know, but instead...
Wait, actually, he did go to law school before he became the FBI agent.
Oh, so the cover works.
All at the age of 25, though.
Yeah, hey, that's, you know what? Overachiever, a little bit of an...
Must be.
I mean, he hit 100% on his target practice at the beginning of the
movie. Exactly.
So that's the kind of guy we're talking about here. This is like the guy who reminds the teacher that they didn't give out homework on Friday. He tells the director of the FBI right away, I take the skin off chicken. Like, I'm all about being as disciplined as I need to be.
I am your health nut. Watch me eat this donut now.
I love these things. I know you. You're young, dumb, full of cum. Let's see. Is this the movie?
Do we have an asshole shortage here?
No, not from where I'm standing. Not so far. That's what he says. Not so far. Is this the movie she did right after Near Dark?
I think so. That would just, the timing would be right for that, I think.
And then she actually has a movie called Zero Dark 30 later. Is it like a little bit of a throwback to all this?
Well, anyway. Zero Dark 30 is the Osama bin Laden one.
Oh yeah, is that the one that she? No, it's Hurt Locker. She got the Academy
Award
for. Did she also get one for
Zero Dark? I don't think so.
It got nominated, though, right? Looks like, no, we got Near Dark, then Blue Steel. Oh, I realized she didn't. Blue Steel. New Order, Substance, a short by whatever. And then Point Break was, so this is like two movies after Near Dark.
Okay.
But she still has, I mean, you know, there's
she's obvious, still learning.
And there's, but there's much more action-oriented camera work in this movie as well. It's the kind of thing that when you start to say, like, oh, how did she get to do Hurt Locker and Zero Dark 30? And then you look back, like, oh, she did this. And Blue Steel, I'm surprised how I keep forgetting that Blue Steel was part of her. That's like Ron Silver and Jamie Lee Curtis, cop, like, murder drama thing. But, yeah, and so eventually what starts to happen here is as things progress, and especially in this one moment where as he comes back to the car with the two meatball sandwiches and realizes, hey, a car pulled up to that bank we're staking out over there. Did you notice that, Mr. Reading your fucking newspaper and waiting on meatball sandwiches? And this is obviously where the twain meet, the cop version of Johnny Utah and the bank robber version of the Boda Zyfa, a.k.a. Bodie, a.k.a. Patrick Swayze, a.k.a. Lori Petty's ex-boyfriend slash football guy who recognized Johnny Utah. Yeah, guys, I really hope you've seen the movie, because this is literally the worst recap type of discussion I've ever had about a film. But I also feel like the most sort of organically flowing, too, because I this movie is part of me. So I'm just like, whatever, guys. It's like having an ADD attack, but everything's relevant.
It's also 26 years old.
Oh, my God! Shit! Wow. Wow. I almost feel like I didn't need to know that.
Because
I'm like, so this came out when I was 10.
Yeah, well, he's gonna say, look at Lori Petty, and then they go, yeah, she was born in 1964. I'm like, oh!
Dude, Gary Busey's got gray sideburns in this movie. Like, the sides of his hair went gray. The top of his hair is like a brown that I don't think it ever really was. Like, so obviously it was like a weird dye job. But I remember at the time I was like, yeah, that looks about right. No, not that I have 10 years old. How the fuck could I gauge these things? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even realize, oh, that's the singer from Red Hot Chili Peppers in there.
Exactly.
One of the surf Nazis that they mistake. So, I, you know, there was a whole that the naked chick in the house sequence, there, it was like a shootout that was, I guess, his sort of last ditch effort at trying to find some other group that it could be besides the group he was starting to suspect that it was, because
they were definitely up to no good.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they were fucking hardcore. The arsenal they had ready to meet the FBI raid with was pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's actually like probably one of the first times we saw a Desert Eagle just be brandished by some random people living in like a suburban neighborhood, but they just happen to be a suburban neighborhood near Venice Beach or whatever, you know. Or no, I'm sorry, that was near Latigo Beach.
Near Latigo, yes, because
nice
that was there.
Nice Point Break. Yeah, the movie titular line to describe Latigo Beach.
Exactly.
Yeah, they did police work. I was surprised they actually, you know, they did police work to find these guys. And that's the kind of thing that when you think about it, you're like, wait a minute, so the FBI just laughed at this, and then you show up with the actual paperwork, and they're still laughing at you, and then you're like, all right, we'll just go get the guys. I mean, fuck it.
Okay.
Going off the res. We're going to go rogue. Fuck you guys. We'll get them.
We did everything you asked us to. We found the guys. And now this is what you're doing to us? Come on.
But it's just, to me, I'm like, well, you know, you are the FBI. You really mean to tell me there wasn't somebody else who put this little, hey, every year it's from June to October. It's only during the summer. It's like, right when everybody would be at the beach, so maybe those are the people we should be looking for, beach people? I don't know.
Could be. Maybe, just possibly.
I mean, these days it would be a computer algorithm or some shit. But I mean, you know, like, he had the mud scuff from the countertop that had the sex wax in it, that like, or had the carnauba wax in it that he eventually learned was used in 88 products, but only had 3 matches, and one of them was sex wax, which everybody's like, oh, sex wax.
Which it is must be that.
I mean, I thought it was like, it was more detective work than Christopher Nolan did in any of the, Christian Bale did in any of the Nolan Batmans, and Batman was supposed to be the greatest detective on earth.
Oh, he just plugged stuff into his computer and let the computer figure it out.
Nah, he didn't even do that so much. We didn't see any of that shit in the Nolan movies, but meanwhile here, it's like in his first week, they like narrowed down to one of the beaches, you know, that they go to.
I mean, I think that's kind of something that movies now have moved away from a bit. Like, they don't want to, they don't worry about showing like the boring procedural stuff. Like, you want to see that, you watch NCIS.
True, true. I mean, I feel like there are some movies that'll still make a point of having one sequence somewhere that's like a CSI sequence, as I call it, which is like, hey, they're doing a bunch of stuff and we're hearing music and no dialogue, nothing's important. And by the end of it, they know where to look for the guy. I think if we're moving too far away from the the Latigo Beach attack, there are definitely some awesome lines in there dialogue wise. Like, he's like, oh, I guess this is where you guys tell me that yuppie trash like me should stay off your beach and go back to the valley, right? And like, nope.
Nope.
That would be a waste of time, says Anthony Kiedis. We're just going to fuck you up. And then Bodhi comes into the rescue, and after he beats the shit out of everybody, and Keanu Reeves like restarts the fight and Kit finishes kicking the shit out of everybody, fucking Patrick Swayze ends it just by going, all right, guys, well, this is stimulating, but we're out of here. And I'm like, oh, my God, I used that. I fucking, that's where that came from. Like, I feel like.
Then you have Busey running up looking for, I think he's lost dog or something.
Well, first he's like, whoa, because he's actually looking for Keanu Reeves. He goes, a kid. He's like, yeah, I see a kid come running through here with a car stereo. He just stole it from me. And he's like, no, but there's a couple guys back there you might want to check out. And, like, you see Patrick Swayze give him this, like, side of the eye look like, wow, dude, you just beat the shit out of them and then sick this guy on them? Like, wow. Fucking nuts. Yeah, so we jumped around quite a bit there. That all happened before this whole meatball sandwich day where the bank robbers pull up. But at that point, it becomes pretty clear. Swayze knows about Keanu. Keanu knows about Swayze. Keanu even has the moment where he can shoot him, and we have the famous puts the gun in the air, shoots all every round he's got, and then later just claims to have missed his target, which
shamelessly referenced in Hot Fuzz.
I was going to say, what was the movie with Simon Pegg where and now what's his friend's, what's the actor who plays that guy? Is that
Nick Frost?
Nick Frost, where he actually mimics it with the remote control as it's happening.
Yes.
I love that. Like, it's one of the good parts of Hot Fuzz. Hot Fuzz is like not an awesome movie, but it has awesome parts in it, and that's
and,
one of them.
And here's where we're gonna agree to disagree.
Oh shit! I knew you loved it. I was like, oh, you're a huge Hot Fuzz fanatic.
It is not as good as Shaun of the Dead.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's still a great movie.
And both are better than World's End. Although I haven't watched all of World's End. So
I have not seen World's End.
The parts of it that I've seen make me want to watch the rest of it. But I feel like Shaun of the Dead was like such lightning in a bottle, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's actually kind of, in my mind, so is this, because this is that, maybe too, it's from the time that it came from, but this is one of those movies that it only recently got a remake, and I almost just refuse to even acknowledge it, because fuck you, it wasn't even Surfers. It was one of those, like, you know, like when they make just like an extreme sports movie that almost should be like part of the X Games. Like, it should be a montage at the X Games, and then they threw some dialogue scenes.
I think that's one of the great things about this is that this actually took off right before the X Games did.
True, true.
So that whole concept of like the extreme sports and surfing and everything else, that wasn't really part of the culture yet.
Yeah.
So the fact that this kind of decided that was where it was going to jump in and follow these adrenaline junkies who are only really robbing banks so that they can keep funding their trips.
Yeah, so it's actually they're addicted to their own adrenaline, and they're actually just very sick people. They're like junkies.
Yes.
Like, this is a different version of heroin addiction.
Exactly.
The other thing, though, is that they never made any sequels. You know what I mean? Like, they just left it alone. It was just, it's its own thing. I mean, arguably the remake now kind of adds another film to the collection, but it's like they definitely leave the door open at the end of this for some possible sequel territory. You know what I mean? And it's,
what does Johnny Utah get up to next?
Or, you know, could Bodhi have somehow survived? And I know we're jumping way forward now, but, you know, it's very much the way that the first Fast and Furious movie ends, where, you know, he's walking away, basically throwing away his badge, and you're like, oh, shit, man, this thing really took a turn for everybody, you know? And I think at the time, for the cult following that it garnered from the beginning, because I think there are some people that have always loved this movie from the minute it came out till now, like me, who are just like, fuck, dude. I watch it now, and I'm like, man, it sucks that Patrick Swayze's dead. They totally could have done another one of these movies. And I think a sequel 20 years later with all as many of the cast that survived, well, basically Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, maybe, it's Keanu Reeves.
Maybe Patrick Swayze. I think that if, you know, may he rest in peace, if Patrick Swayze was still alive, that would be an awesome, like, Point Break 20 years later. Like, they've been hunting each other for 20 years. Because this movie
I think they made that movie, only they called it Heat.
Yeah, true. I was going to say, there's a lot of heat going on here, too, which arguably way better. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time. But, yes.
With, like, the older agent going after the older bank robber. I feel that that would be that movie.
Yeah. Oh, man, and what if, like, he's working with Pappas' nephew or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, his Pappas, who, like, idolized his uncle Angelo and was so pissed that one of these guys kills him. So after, you know, like, he finds out that the bank robbers are his new surfing buddies, and when they find out about him, they decide to totally just mind fuck him, and they take him skydiving. And it's like, to me, I think this, no matter how popular these things have become since, it's always going to come back to this movie that I was like, yep, I definitely have to do that someday. And I'm still, it's like, it's one of my goals. Every New Year's, I'm like, okay, resolution time. Get in shape enough, because there's a weight limit. You know, so it's like, get in shape enough to go fucking skydiving. And then what sucks is you can't do it like this. Like, I wish I could meet a group of friends that would do this. They would be like, yep, just jump in the plane, man. We're taking you up. We'll fucking show you how to do it. And just make sure you pull the ripcord. That's what everybody says. The whole reason you can't do it by yourself the first couple times is because you're apt to panic and not pull the cord. So you have to do at least 10 tandem jumps before you're able to do even one by yourself. So I always thought to myself, how fucking badass would it be to, like, meet a group of friends who just, like, have a plane and have, like, a whole bunch of parachutes. And they're like, listen, dude, this is dangerous as shit, but we're going to fucking give you the fucking Point Break treatment. We're Johnny Utah-ing you right now. Like, you get in the plane, we show you how to put the thing on in the plane, you jump out with us, and then we just hope that you're going to pull the thing at the right time.
And that we don't have to explain to your job on Monday why you're now just a red smear on the ground.
Yeah, so Dave's not coming back. Yeah. He's gone as in a way. But he went out doing something he loved. And you have to be willing to pay the, if you want the ultimate, you have to be willing to pay the ultimate price. That's another awesome line from this movie.
And on the plus side, you know, he now fits into this bucket.
Yes. So the funeral will be small, held right here, right now. Feel free to say what you like.
Yeah,
isn't this fucking beautiful? Oh God, Roach. Oh man. I think we would also be remiss if we didn't mention the guy from Oz, the guy who played Beecher on Oz, who plays Rosie. He's the one non-surfer in their group. He's like their ultimate muscle guy. He's the guy that, while they take him on this, skydiving expedition, like the day after the foot chase that revealed them to each other, Lee Tergesen, who you may know as Beecher from Oz. He, while they're skydiving, he's kidnapping Lori Petty. And
the way
Patrick Swayze's Bodhi character describes Rosie, he's like, he's got this gift of, like, blankness. You know, I could never do that to her. She used to be my woman. But, you know, he is just a cold machine. And if by noon I don't call him, he is going to gut her like a pig and try not to get any on his shoes. I was like, dude, that's a very eloquent way of describing this.
It's like, I'll be heartbroken inside, but she'll be dead.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And Patrick Swayze opens his parachute, like, right above the water. It's crazy. Yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot of foreshadowing about how scary and macho it is to not open your parachute until the very last possible second. That could have been the whole basis for the sequel. Parachute Chicken times two.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I'm losing the. I'm losing my train.
Losing the plot.
So eventually, this leads to them forcing Keanu to have to do a bank robbery with them.
They make sure to give him a gun with blanks.
No bullets at all. Unloaded shotgun.
Yes.
And luckily, he gets a bulletproof vest, because all the other robberies we've seen throughout the movie, everybody does what they tell you you're supposed to do. Just cooperate, do what the robbers tell you to do, don't get anybody killed. Well, in this particular robbery, there's an off-duty cop who just wanted to, you know, cash a check or whatever the fuck he wanted to do. And he's not about to be the guy who gets made fun of on Monday by all the rest of his cop buddies for being in the bank that got robbed and did nothing about it to stop the ex-presidents.
Sorry. So of course he gets, and of course the one person to get shot is Johnny Utah.
Yeah, the vest does its job, luckily. But he also, like, he gets this, like, there's a security guard too who's like, he's like, hey, I'm a cop, and he shows him his gun, and he's like, do you have a backup? He goes, yo, look, let's just let him take whatever they want, you know, like we don't have to do this. You don't have to do this.
The insurance will cover it.
Yeah, he gets this guy killed too. So yeah, a bunch of people die. for the first time. But it's also, you could tell for the ex-presidents, though, this was the first time that happened, because how pissed Patrick Swayze gets, like how Bodie's like so angry that their perfect routine got thrown off. And I think he was definitely trying to fuck over Keanu Reeves. Like, he was like, yeah, look at the camera. He was the only one who doesn't get a mask. Everybody else is in their ex-president masks. So it's like he's trying to do too many things. Like, the control freak, who the adrenaline junkie, has finally pushed himself too far. It's funny. I've never realized the parallel there of how Keanu pushed himself too far, which forced Bodhi to push himself too far, which is what led to the sloppiness that gets everybody killed. Brahman, I think, is the guy who gets shot in the bank. Like, one of them does get shot. One of the ex-presidents gets shot in the neck by the undercover cop, and that causes Patrick Swayze, who had a very cool-looking revolver, like a very, like, the silver revolver that the actual chamber didn't have any grooves. It just looked like a very smooth, sleek gun. He blows that cop away, man. It's like, it's rough. It's just like shoots him right in the chest. Shot through the heart. And you're to blame.
Too late, yeah.
You know how the rest of it goes, guys. So, and then it becomes the chase to save Tyler. Because the whole reason Keanu is doing this is because he said, you know what? You need to help us do this last robbery, and then we'll let Lori Petty go. Tyler is played by Lori Petty.
And he's like, okay, yes, because I love her, and I don't want her I don't want her death on my conscience.
And they wind up like knocking him out and leaving him on the scene as they exit, also leaving behind their fallen brother. And you know, he's of course arrested, and we have like the big supercharged confrontation between Pappas and the FBI director, who's like, I knew putting you together was a mistake. No. We got two dead people. One of them's a police officer. I also liked when Keanu Reeves goes, take your hands off me right now. I was like, oh, I want to say that to somebody one day. I want to be in that situation where I'm totally within my rights to say this, and if I say it, it's just so badass.
Quickly followed by clone being tased.
Yes. Don't tase me, bro. Shit. Oh, man. And so, like, I didn't realize, I guess, like, when I was younger, I always used to think that a lot of them parts of the movie were separated by a lot of space, and that they go skydiving at the beginning of the movie, and then they go skydiving again at the end. But really, they wind up going skydiving twice within the same half hour here. And
yes,
it's like,
exactly.
Like, we went skydiving to distract you from your girlfriend getting kidnapped, and now your girlfriend's kidnapped, and we're not going to tell you where she is. We leave you at the scene of the crime. You were supposed to get killed. We're pissed that you didn't. And, you know, he's like, as he's being taken in by his former partner, he says, I know where they're going. And he goes, yeah, I figured you did. And they're going to go try to save what's her name, you know, because I don't know.
That's what you do in 90s movies.
Did we think that Bodhi was going to try to keep her? You know, like, oh, yeah, sorry, your new boyfriend got killed in the robbery, so now you're still with me.
You belong to me now.
We're back to that. We're back to that. Sorry. We're back to that. I don't know. It's possible. I think at the end, everybody's surprised. Like, so we have the one guy dies in the robbery. Nathaniel gets the drop on Angelo at the airport at the end and shoots him, but Angelo still gets a couple shots off and kills Nathaniel, so they both die. Oh no, is it Roach? Roach is the one who gets the shot, the drop.
Yep.
So what the fuck happens to Nathaniel? Nathaniel gets shot before they get on the plane. He just gets shot in the chest by, I don't know, Keanu? Or does, fuck. It's gonna happen in a minute. Well, I'll fill everybody in. Basically, what winds up happening is it's just Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, and the dying, bleeding, bank robber Roach. Is there's three guys in the plane. Angelo Pappas is dead. Two of the other robbers are dead, and the pilot is like, the pilot tried to pull this like, I'm not gonna fly you to San Felipe, man. And Patrick Swayze's like, well, now that you said where we're going, I guess I have to take this fucking guy. He was gonna leave him and not let him know where Lori Petty was. That's definitely very clear to me at this point. I grew up always thinking Bodhi was like kind of like a misunderstood good guy. And now I'm like, nope, he's a dick. he's basically the devil. That's what's going on.
And he was just after him. He was looking out for himself.
Yeah. He was pissed that someone new was fucking his ex. And that someone new turned out to be an FBI agent. And that someone knew who turned out to be an FBI agent was the guy who was, like, mentoring in the art of surfing and being one with your adrenaline self. So it's a lot of betrayal going on in all kinds of ways, I guess. And so we have our second parachute sequence, only this time only two of the guys have parachutes, and one of them is not Keanu Reeves. Keanu actually pulls that, like, fuck! Ah! And he just jumps out the plane, like, knowing, all right, my only option now is to catch up to one of those two other guys. And he's got the gun in his hand, and they eventually get to that, like, hey, man. He's like, pull the ripcord. No, you pull it. And he goes, how are you going to do that? You got to drop the gun, right? You know, there's like a basically, I guess it is parachute chicken happens at the end of this
Pretty
one. Why would we do it in the second movie? It happens here. And
so
it
makes you wonder why they bothered making the second movie in the first place.
Yeah, well, it's like I said, it's a remake, and it's a poorly thought out situation. Because to me, maybe that's the other reason they never did another one of these, is maybe Patrick Swayze would never said yes, you know? Because to me, I can't imagine it being as good, you know? Like,
I can see Patrick Swayze going, you know what, fuck no, I already made that movie.
And honestly, I liked the Bodhi character having an ambiguous ending, so I won't be a part of, like, sullying that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But yeah, man, shit. This movie's amazing. And so when they do parachute, like, they wind up opening, they pull the parachute, like, so low. I remember watching it once with my mom when I was a kid, and she's just like, oh, both of their legs would be broken. Like, all of their legs, all four of those legs would be shattered. None of them would be walking away from this.
Well, and to the point, I mean, Johnny Utah does fuck up his knee again.
Right, right.
Which they referenced really early on, and that being the whole reason why he didn't go pro.
Yep, yep. Well, he hurt it during the foot chase as well. That was part of why he couldn't keep chasing Bodhi. Yeah, so I love how we're all over the place. Hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Hashtag, what the fuck are you guys talking about? And so, yeah, when they land super low at the end, like, even Patrick Swayze is limping, but, like, Keanu can't even get up. He can't even stand up. But they do wind up releasing Tyler, and that's the thing. Like Rosie has Tyler in the Jeep when he goes to pick them up. So I'm like, if the whole plan was for Keanu to not be there, they were either going to, like, rape her and kill her and leave her in the desert, or...
Or just kill her.
Or keep her, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Try to convince her, like, you got one shot to stick with me. I'll give you one shot. Whatever that...
Let's see if we can make the whole Stockholm Syndrome work for us.
Top that. I don't know if you're picking up that reference at all, but did you ever see Teen Witch? Was it Teen Witch? Yeah, Teen Witch.
Teen Witch? No.
Oh shit. That's a horrible movie from the 80s, like, or maybe around this time too, or like,
okay,
late 80s, early 90s. I'm sure we'll catch that on cable. We'll put it on the DVR for later, for a future What Am I Watching episode.
It goes on the list.
And then we...
1989.
Wow, all right, so 2 years ahead of time. So top that could have been in this. All right. So basically the way it all, it's kind of like a draw. I love, like, Patrick Swayze even says he has that sort of, like, sorry, Johnny, this game we both lose. You know, it's like everybody in this movie is speaking like they know they're in a movie. So they like everything is, like, perfectly accentuated and perfectly catchy and witty, like all these little quips, you know, like it's like 100% pure adrenaline, some guy snort for it, jab a vein for it, all you gotta do is jump. That was in the trailer also.
It's like, can we make a movie that's completely composed of one-liners? Yes, we can.
And it was awesome, by the way. Everybody loved it. Even the people who don't like it, the people who say they don't like it, they fucking love this movie. This movie's, where my story started, I watched it on Pix 11 in the summer when I was, like, I don't know, 13 maybe. And, you know, when my parents, when they got separated, Friday nights were like the nights that Dad picked us up, and we would all either go out to dinner and go to a movie or go to the mall. And I remember I was like, yeah, let's go to the mall because I want to get Point Break. And I just, like, walked right into was it Saturday Matinee at the time? It must have been Saturday Matinee. And I just walked right over to the shelf, right up to Point Break, put it on the countertop, and like the girl behind the counter like looked at it and looked at me. I'm like, yeah, I bet you didn't think you'd be selling a copy of that today. I don't know why that came to my mind as the line to say. And she just goes, Point Break? Oh, this is a great movie. I'm like, yes, it is. And I'm too young to know how to follow up on this, so thank you. Clearly, I'm not fucking you anytime soon, and I'm going to go home and watch this great movie.
Exactly.
So let's see. I'm trying to think. Like, I know there's a whole ending scene that I'm sure anybody who's followed this and made any kind of semblance of, like, sane recap going on here. They're like, all right, guys, you're going to finally get to the 50-year storm and the big final scene of the movie. But before we get there, there's, like, a ton of scenes and a ton of, like, one-liners that I feel like we need to try to rattle off before we get there. And I'm like, all right, and of course, now that I said that, why can't I think of any? Well, I mean, some of them were from, at one point, Patrick Swayze, Bodie, invited Johnny over to his house after they beat the shit out of Anthony Kiedis on the beach. And he was like, oh, how do I get there? He goes, oh, come with Tyler. She knows. And at one point, they're all, like, out in the back by the campfire. And they're talking about, like, all the waves they've ridden. And the one guy's like, yo, man, just paddling out on a big wave is commitment. You know, you can't just, like, call time out and be paddling into the beach if you don't like the way things are going, bro. And then he goes, you're like, it jacks up. And you're like, freaking hood ornament on like a freight train or something, man, and your balls are about this big. I'm just like, yeah, dude. He was the one I was always like, I hope you die first. In this group, this ragtag group of robbers, there's no way you could live. But that's where Bodie tells the story of the 50-year storm.
And that's what Johnny Utah realizes that's how they're going to find him.
Yeah, but
find where the 50-year storm is, you'll find Bodie.
And I remember that being part of the trailer, too, because that's where he says if you want the ultimate, you have to be willing to pay the ultimate price. And they're talking about actually how dangerous it is to ride waves that are over a certain size. And he's talking about how, like, once or twice a century, the world reminds us just how small we are. And what does he say? Like, this, like, winter storm out of Antarctica sends a swell north into the Pacific, and by the time it hits Bell's Beach, Australia, it's like 50-foot waves. He's like, it'll turn into the biggest surf this planet has ever seen, and I will be there.
And I'm going to surf that wave, and I'm going to die.
And it's one of those things that, like, I guess as a kid, too, I didn't realize that you're supposed to kind of take note of these little nonchalant little future dates that are always dropped into dialogue like that. Because he's like, next year, oh, they're all trying to talk about which beaches had the biggest waves. And he goes, Bell's Beach, Australia. And they're like, no way, Bell's is bigger than Waimea, bro. And he goes, it will be next year. And then Tyler breaks in, oh, yeah, Bodie thinks there's a 50-year storm coming. Like, we're supposed to think this is the most ridiculous thing ever, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm an FBI agent. I better write that down in my mind.
That's because Bodie actually pays attention to weather.
Yeah, Bodie's got a lot. He's in tune with the earth. You know what I mean?
Or he just knows how to read.
And I know that they did say Patrick Swayze did a lot of the skydiving himself. You know, like he was an avid skydiver. And so when they were doing the skydiving sequences, there's a lot of shots, especially in the time when they all go as a group as friends. A lot of that footage is him, whereas some of the footage of the other guys was like stunt people. And I think any of the close-ups of their faces, they used those like those giant wind machines that people can like hover on at the beach and shit.
Yeah, and don't think that you can have those kind of conversations while skydiving.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Like, yeah, like, can't you not hear anything? Like, I heard it's exactly. Like you can't even close your mouth and that your saliva is just, like, flying. And, like, if people puke, it just goes, like, up. And like, blah! Can you imagine that shit?
And then when you land, just remember, it too will come down.
And the guy with you is like, you fucking suck, man. Your tandem guy's like, fuck you.
Better tip well.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, geez. Angelo's getting shot. So, yeah, Roach shoots Angelo. And then Angelo shoots both Roach and Nathaniel. But he kills Nathaniel. And Roach just gets, like, hurt. And then he's gonna shoot Patrick Swayze, and Keanu won't let him because they need to find out where Tyler is. And that's when Roach, who's not dead, takes the final two shotgun blasts and just blows Angelo Pappas away.
Yep.
Oh, shit. That's bad. That's terrible.
That's not good at all.
Angelo Pappas, his back looked like tomato sauce. All right, so after this whole day of terribleness that ends with almost everybody dead, what is it, a year later, where we open on this,
Australia,
like, rainy day, and we hear, like, a weather report on the radio, and we see Keanu Reeves with longer hair sitting in his car looking at the beach, and all these people are coming off the beach, and he's walking towards the beach, and it was like one guy when he was like, he's like, hey, anybody been out there? And he goes, oh, no, going out there tonight, mate. Anyone going out there is not coming back. You know, like, they have to drop in just how sick everybody's like, oh, you gotta be crazy going out there, mate.
Oh, wait, what's that guy doing out there on the beach?
By himself with a blanket wrapped around him in the pouring rain. And then he just walks by him and throws the Reagan mask. That's what Bodie was, Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
And, I don't know, the other guys were Carter, LBJ, and who was that? Nixon. Roach was Nixon. I think Brahmin was LBJ, and Nathaniel was Carter. It was cool, man. I mean, I remember seeing the trailers for this going, like, what a cool concept. Like, what a great idea. Because they have code names, you know, already built in that they can use with each other right there.
Exactly.
And
be honest, you cannot see Clinton, GHW, and GW, Robin Banks.
God! And imagine, like, now, after this year, it'll be Obama would be the leader, right? Like, so whoever was the lead would be, like, Barack! Barack, toss me the rock! Yeah, No. We're not doing that. Like, but, like, you had those moments where he's like, oh, Ron, I got Nancy on the line! And they throw the dye pack and it explodes, you know, like they were methodical.
Yeah, Nixon running out going, I'm not a crook.
I am not a crook. Or he goes, get your fucking hands up where I can see him! Thank you. And then he just, like, walks away. Holy shit, what a great movie. Oh, fuck. That people didn't want to watch it? Yeah, shit.
I don't get that.
So, yeah, it's like, how do you not just want to indulge? You know, like, even when he's like, hey, man, we shouldn't get too much higher off the ground. We're going to pop up on their screens. And he goes, you're cold because all the blood is flowing out of your body, Roach. You're going to be dead soon. I hope it was worth it.
So we're going to push you out of the airplane
now. Oh, jeez. I'll see you in hell, Johnny. Oh, my God. All these lines that just, like, come out every once in a while in conversation at parties now. And I'm like, yep. A lot of this is Point Break.
Yes.
A lot of everything starts with Point Break. So, yeah, he throws the Reagan mask at Bodie's feet, and Bodie basically acknowledges who he is, and they kind of recap, you know, Keanu became a really good FBI agent over the course of this last year. He was, like, chasing him through all these countries. He's like, I missed you by about a week in Fiji. Came across an unclaimed piece of meat. Turned out to be Rosie. Guess he picked a knife fight with someone who's a little bit better.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, like, the last two standing. And they get into a pretty sick fight. They get into a pretty badass, you know, white boy ninja fight. And the only way, like, they wind up in the water, and Swayze's kind of doing the, I'm going to drown you, motherfucker, and he's holding him underwater, and all of a sudden he feels a click, clasp, and he lifts his arm up, and, oh, damn it, Johnny handcuffed himself to him, because all Bodie wants to do is catch one wave. Just let me catch one wave, and then I'll come in. And, like, where am I going to go, man? Cliffs on both sides. I'm not going to paddle to New Zealand. And he lets him go, man. He does it. He Brian O'Connors him. Which, Brian O'Connor actually Johnny Utah'd Vin Diesel in Fast and the Furious. But it's tough to keep up. It's tough to keep up. But, yeah, so... And it's funny because, like, I guess the Australian... local PD was kind of, like, ready to help, like, go raid the beach and get him. And then, like, as he lets Patrick Swayze go out and catch the wave, like, what the hell, Utah? You let him go! You know, we'll get him when he comes back in. He's like, he's not coming back. And then he just tosses his badge into the water, and we see Bodhi catch the wave, and then we see him fall off his board, and he's kind of like,
he's tumbling
in the curl, actually, right? Yep. Like, and then it all just comes crashing down on him, and that's supposed to
be the end of Bodhi.
The end of the Bodhisattva. So, yeah.
The way he wanted you.
Yeah. Gotta be, if you want the ultimate, you gotta be willing to pay the ultimate price. Are there any other crazy one-liners that, for some reason, I'm sure they'll come to us in later episodes, and we'll refer back to this Point Breakathon right now. But yeah, man, touch that 2015 remake with, like, I don't even know any famous people.
Yeah,
in it?
No, there's nothing.
I think one of the guys was one of the bad guys in, like, the Bourne Supremacy. You know what I mean? Like, one of the other agents, one of the other activated assets.
Gotcha. Yeah, but yeah, just
yeah.
This really was a template for so many other action movies to follow.
And to realize how many high stakes, high pressure sequences they packed into the same, like, 90-minute movie. Well, I guess we're in an hour and 45, a little bit more than 90 minutes. You know, like, to have two skydive sequences, to have, like, I don't know how many surfing sequences.
Just imagine all of the water shots that they did.
Yeah.
And how hard those shots are to pull off.
I guess that's where I should forgive them the day for night filter on some of the surfing. I don't know why. You know, it's like, in Shane, it worked, guys. All right? Fucking Alan Ladd. It worked on a guy riding a horse where the fucking sun never came into the frame. But I don't know, man. Mad Max. It's sort of like, guys,
come on.
There should not be a bright hot spot on anybody's shoulders or their heads or basically anywhere the sun would be hitting them if they were outside at night.
And Shane gets a pass since it was 1953.
And it was like, they were like, hey, we found a way to make glass blue. Let's put it in front of that other glass in the camera and see what happens. Yo, it looks like nighttime!
Sweet!
And they only found it out like a week after they shot it because they had to develop, you know, it's not really that bad, but I'm just exaggerating again, folks. Gotta be quick on the uptake here.
Yep. So, I think that about pretty much covers it, though.
Yeah, we broke the point on this one, man. I know we tap-danced around a lot of stuff, and I had to make sure to reference the kid who then killed himself years later.
Oh, yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, it's, hey, look, you'll never watch the movie the same now. I'm going to hell. I'm sorry, guys. Hopefully you don't come with me, but if you do, at least you'll have some cool podcasts to listen to while you're there.
I think it's great, though, that this is our second Catherine Bigelow movie.
Yeah, and we had to do them both dynamic duo style.
Exactly.
Fuck it, man. We're the real aficionados around here. We're not afraid. We're all about female empowerment. We want more film, like, you know, femme fatale film directors come out of the woodwork. But, I mean, this movie, it was, like, such a macho movie. You know what I mean? Like, this movie defined a lot of machismo for me. Growing up in with this as part of, like, my lexicon of cool, so was definitely tapped into that. You know, I'm sure being a better half of James Cameron for quite some time doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I would definitely, till the day I die, recommend this movie. I think for people who haven't seen it, it's like a travesty. You are not a true film fanatic. You must see Point Break, just so that you know, what we're talking about. You know,
and for some of you younger audience members, you might want to brush up on some of your '90s history and pop culture to really appreciate this film.
Yeah, you will notice there are no cell phones, and that was probably, you know, a lot of conventions of older times, like before there were these little portable devices all the time, people actually had to like walk around and look for clues and go and talk to people.
And yes, computers really did once upon a time look like that.
Yeah, with only the green writing. No graphics.
It sucks.
Text only. You have like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy game is just sentences, man. It's sentences that keep coming up and you're like, I can't fucking believe this.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, for real. All right, well, you know what? It's another one of those after hours, late night, what am I watching, flipping around. If you're lucky enough to be flipping around and Point Break is on and you're like me when I was 11 going, whoa, and you catch it from the beginning, it's going to be quite the ride. I envy you. I would love to be able to see this cold again, but no, I'm here to bring it to you as a new generation. We're kind of helping guide you through it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, learned doctor and colleague of film, I think it's about time that we put this one to bed. About to go jump on a 50-foot wave myself, and hopefully I'll be around to do some podcasts afterwards. So
sounds good.
All right, guys.
See you next time.
And I don't even know what we have coming up next. We may have made some veiled references to future films coming up in this series. So all of our really keen Easter egg hunters out there may have an idea.
if there's something you think that we absolutely need to cover, let us know.
Yeah, that would be a reason to email us, hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Or you could find us on Facebook. We are the Hollow 9 Network. Follow us on Twitter @Hollow9Cast. But just think about the fact that we've been making some connections between movies lately, right? We did Lost Boys, then we did Near Dark, and then we were both vampire movies, and Near Dark was a Catherine Bigelow movie, and now we did Point Break, it's another Catherine Bigelow movie. I wonder if is it people connecting or concepts maybe? I don't know. You'll have to, see for yourselves when we return. Driving armored vehicles through deserts. Possibly.
If we can get more people to watch them with us.
Yes, yes. I may have to protest a film or two. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And as always, tune in again.
Until next time.
I'm Dave the Clone.
And I'm Gomez Not Adams.
And we broke the points on Point Break. Did I mention I'm watching the Pure Adrenaline edition on DVD? It has a deleted scene or two and an extended trailer with footage that isn't in the deleted scenes or in the film. So, wow. There are secrets even we don't know, guys. And that's a way of saying it. You've been listening to the Hollow 9 Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter @Hollow9Cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, cast. Email us at Hollow9Podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, Hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, FangirlZone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow 9.
The spinning circle of doom.
Spinning.
Uh-oh. My God.
So, say hello to the night.
Everything that I was supposed to do today, it didn't happen.
Because of editing?
No, because I was trying to avoid editing. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to make potato soup. And so we had pork chops and fried potatoes. And I made potato soup and green beans. And I made a lot.
Fucking productive,
really.
You.
I really didn't
want to
edit.
I will probably stay up and edit after we record. Because
see, I did carryout Indian food for dinner tonight.
Nice. Damn.
I've never had Indian food. I'm
what?
First of all, I don't have a gallbladder, so
okay.
I'm really, really afraid to
I
try.
I think that could actually be an issue, right? I mean, that's actually
it's an issue with a lot of food, that so that's why it scares me.
problematique, as they say.
Yeah, this was partly just celebration that we got our tax refund back. So we can't.
Oh, nice, nice. It's Indian food.
Nice to get tax back.
Hold on a second. Let me grab a pen for a second. You guys can talk.